He's going to like what we have or what the Lord's been showing me, and I'm just going to relay it over to you. That's the way it should be. So, Father, we bless you. We praise you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for life in Christ. We thank you. We can't thank you enough, Jesus. We could just learn, Lord, just learn. Not through works. Just learn how to fall in love with you, Lord. Just learn how to fall in love with you. Desire you, Father, more than anything in the world. Desire to fall at your feet. Desire to feel your heartbeat, Jesus. Desire. Feel you, Lord. Desire to walk in the ways of the kingdom. Desire to be taught by you, Jesus, and by God, the Holy Spirit, through your word and through the revelation gift, Father. To desire to lift up our hands regardless of situations and just tell you over and over again, Father, from our hearts, how much we love you. Not redundant, Father, not like robots, but out of our hearts, with gratitude, just telling you over and over again how much we love you. May I hear your words today, Holy Spirit, word upon word, to share with my brothers and sisters as you've been teaching me, Lord, so I teach them also. Through none other than God, the Holy Spirit. I worship you, Father, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to keep you long, guys, at all. Hopefully, this is all really that a preacher or pastor could ever want. Is a lot of people get real excited because their youth, or this is really college kids or whatever it is, when their youth group grows, they say it's success. You know, it caters to their flesh and they call it success. And sometimes it is. Sometimes people want to be around an anointed person, but I know what I have before me. But we're surrounded here with young people that really are after the same thing that I am, which is to know Jesus Christ, to know him in an acting manner, not just as Redeemer, but to know Jesus in a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to teach you something here today. If you just listen, when Jesus spoke in Matthew 5, this is an incredible thing. And Matthew 5 is paralleled by Luke 6. I didn't think it did at first, but then I started reading the chapters before, and it's just a smaller version of Matthew 5. But Jesus said these words, and we're going to take it one step further than we did last Sunday. Jesus said, and seeing the multitudes, I forgot what he said, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he taught them. He opened his mouth. Jesus taught them. Taught who? The disciples. But Matthew 5 says specifically, he said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when his disciples, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. And he opened up his mouth and he taught them, saying, Jesus said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, I'm reading New King James, he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth and he taught them, saying, now this is the thing. In the multitude, do you think there happened to be one or two sinners maybe in the multitude? Or possibly maybe 100 or 200. You think there might have been a prostitute or a homosexual in that multitude? You think maybe there might have been a couple of Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests there in the multitude? Yes. You think there might have been one or two people that really wanted to hear this man on the mountain? Yes. They were all together. They were all together. And when he was set on the mountain, the Bible says, when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. But only one thing here that you got to discern, and this only comes through the Holy Ghost, through the teacher of all teachers. The Bible says that his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth and he taught them, saying, but I can picture Jesus elevated on a mountain, and I can picture the whole multitude going to hear him. Some to mock him, some for the miracles, some for the fish, for victuals, for the food. But they were all together in one group as multitudes. And the Bible says, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth and he taught them. He didn't teach the multitude. He taught the disciples that came unto him. And I went back through imagery and I put myself there. But they all came forward to the mountain to hear Jesus. But the Bible says his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth and he taught them, saying, well, you know the answer because you heard me preach Sunday. To be a disciple, and I've said it before, to be obedient, we've always said you got to be a doer of the word, which is true according to James. But before you can be a doer, you have to be a hearer. We'll take it one step further. Before you can be a doer, you got to be a hearer. But to be a hearer, you got to be a disciple. A disciple comes to Jesus. Is it a physical step? No. Jesus opened up his mouth and taught those at the bottom of the hill that came to him with an open heart. There's a lot of people that come to church every week that aren't receptive. They come because it's the right thing to do. But when your heart's open, and when you come to Jesus Christ from your heart, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants to speak to you deliberately and precisely with his word. There's nothing more that I want in the world right now than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to hear those magnificent words that come to him first. Lord, I'm here today, Lord, not because I have to, not because it's the right thing to do, Lord. I'm here today in heart, Jesus. I'm coming to you in heart, Lord, and I want to hear those magnificent words from Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that you want to teach me, a man that wants to be your disciple. See, that man on the mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I come to him, when you come to him from the heart, not a physical step, a spiritual step, God, I want to be taught by you. I want to hear those words that you spoke. I want you to tutor me, Jesus, along with the Holy Spirit in my prayer language. I want to be just like you, Jesus. And guys, do you realize who we're being taught by? The words in red, they're none other than God Almighty. And then coupled with the gift of praying in the Spirit, my God, we cannot go wrong. And we went into, I'm not going to talk about what we ministered on Sunday, which was awesome. I heard a lot of good reports about last Sunday. But Jesus took it one step. I mean, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Bible says, well, yeah, Pastor Omar, he was writing to people that weren't born again. You can't apply to you. Sure, I can, because the one whose words are in red, he was born again and he was Holy Ghost filled. And those words are for me to teach me how to be a disciple, how to be a young man that all he wants to do is walk in the ways of the kingdom, which is love. If God is love, if Jesus is love, every bit of instruction from his heart to me, when he told me to be merciful, that was love. When he told me to be a peacemaker, that was an instruction of love. When he told me to be pure in heart, That was an instruction of love. And I found out the more that I spend time with Jesus on an intimate level through worship, that being merciful and being a peacemaker and being pure in heart is just that much easier. See, we get born again and we know that we are to do right. We got to live right. We're born again. But I can tell you this, lest you know the Savior in an intimate manner, we are to do right and we have the capacity to do right through the born again spirit, it's still a battle. But I found out that the more that I love the one that instructed me to love, the more I fall in love with him and embrace him in my heart and lift up my hands to worship him, it gets easier and easier to do what's right because I'm falling in love with the one asking me to love. And Jesus said something incredible to me and you. If your heart's open today, if your heart, Luke says, and they came to him. Luke records it as they came unto him. He that comes unto me and hears my sayings and doeth them shall be like a wise man. Luke recorded, he that comes to me. So yeah, to do, you got to hear. But to hear, you got to go with the Christ with a humble heart. To hear those magnificent words of read, those precious holy words that he ministered to those that wanted to be disciples of the Lord. See, in the modern day church, we have too many ministries that are full of themselves. That's why there's so much failure in God's kingdom. Because you got self-exalted men and women of God that exalt themselves, that are so content having a ministry with junk in their life that they're not dealing with. I saw the other day, and I really don't watch much on TV. I watch football, but I watch Gunsmoke, and I watch Bonanza. That's what I love my Westerns. But they had a new show on called Preachers of L.A. Oh, Lord. Did anybody see a little bit of that, Pastor? You would have thrown up. No, I was in awe. I was paralyzed. And I couldn't say nothing. One guy said, you see my Bentley, you see my glory, but you don't want to hear my story. One of them was preaching. I can't say the names. And my conscience is very clear because I'm not judging them, but I was in awe of what they were presenting. One of them had got a divorce because of infidelity. God forgave him. We know that. Of course he can. But in the process of the divorce, he got another woman pregnant out of wedlock, and he's still in the pulpit, driving around a $300,000 car and bragging about it. Every single one of them. I couldn't believe what I saw. That's what the church has become. But I believe we got a few here that are tired of themselves, and they want to draw to Christ from their heart to hear him and do his will as sons and daughters of the kingdom. There's nothing more that I've ever wanted than I do now than to just be taught by Jesus the words in red and to allow the Holy Ghost to take me to a place that I did not know existed. And I think that's what you want. I don't like myself, but at the same time, I'm happy where the Holy Ghost is taking me. There's nothing more that I want to be in this world is to be known as an acting follower, a disciple of the Most High God. A flat-out disciple, one that acknowledges that his ways, that there's somebody's ways that are higher than his ways. A disciple's one that all he wants to do is please his Father. A disciple's one that wants to be transformed into the image of Christ. A disciple's one that wants to walk in the ways and walk out the ways of the kingdom. There's nothing more that moves me right now. There's a desire in me every single day to sit in my chair in my bedroom and to just spend time with Jesus, not because I have to at all, but because there's something crying out within me that wants to. And as I read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, just going over and just praying in the Holy Ghost and just worshiping Jesus, We're going to take it one step further than we did last Sunday. Now, Jesus said these incredible words, and I'm going to get into the text that I want to share with you today. I won't keep you long, I promise. Jesus said this, Matthew 5:43, the words of Christ, put yourself at the mountain. Put yourself there as a young woman or a young man that sees the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you want to hear what this man has to say. Draw near to him spiritually in your heart. Picture yourself being mesmerized by supremacy. Picture yourself being in awe of what you see and of what you picture him speaking to you on a one-on-one level. Him looking at you with eyes of love and compassion, eyeball to eyeball, not for you to be a teacher or a preacher, but for you to be a disciple. And he's looking at you on the mountain today. Is when I read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I don't read it to preach it. I'm reading it to live it. And out of that lifestyle, then I can preach. Jesus said, Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus said, and I'm reading the Bible today with the lights on, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We'll all say amen to that. But what did Jesus quote there? You might not know. I mean, listen to this statement. Does it sound like a New Testament statement to you? Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. What did he quote there? The what? The law. But who is the fulfillment of the law? Jesus Christ. Love has come. Jesus quotes the law to who? To me and to you, to the man or the woman that wants to draw near to the Redeemer. He quotes to me and you, you have heard, Homer, that it was said you shall love your neighbor. Is that easy to do, to love your neighbor? That's real nice to you? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty easy to do. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But, Jesus says, but, now that love has come, I'm the fulfillment of the law, boys. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus said, you have heard, Renee, that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Renee, I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. See, Renee, love has come. I am the fulfillment of the law. Love has come. The law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I have come, Renee, to fulfill this. But I say unto you, I, Christ, the head of the church, I say unto you today, and we'll go verse for verse. But I say to you, Harry, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He quoted the law. And he quoted new instruction. He quoted grace. He quoted fulfillment of the law. This is a remarkable thing. That most of the problems that I've ever had in my life, as most of you, have usually been with people where? In the church. But in context, Jesus is saying, love your enemies. In context, he's writing to those believers or disciples who were being persecuted for their faith. whose doctrine was different than those of the Pharisees and Sadducees. See, they preached legalism, but the disciples knew that there was something else that they were looking for in the scriptures. See, it's easy to love those that do good to you. It's simple to do. It's another thing to carry out the words of Jesus Christ. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Jesus, why? Why, oh God, why? He quoted the law. Then he quoted love. But why, Jesus? Why do you want me to do such a thing to those best running back in football? Supposed to be a Christian man. Now, I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. We understand that his 2-year-old son was just what? Murdered. Guess what? That portion of scripture applies to him. It applies to me. And it applies to you. Why is it so vital that we carry out the words of Christ? Listen to this. Here's your answer. Love those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Why a believer sometimes receives nothing of God? Jesus said in the Beatitudes, as he instructed us in the beginning of 5, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. See, it's easy, my friends, and we've struggled much, the corporate body of Christ. I am no different. You are no different in the eyes of Christ. You know what draws those that persecute us for our faith to Christ? Love. What drew me to Christ when I was a sinner? His love. He said, if you love your enemies, you will be complete as your Father in heaven is complete. Lord, but you don't know what they've done to me, Lord. But I say unto you, Courtney, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Why, Lord, that you may be sons of your Father, which is in heaven. That I may be complete like my Father in heaven. I wasn't shut out of the kingdom when I was a sinner. The embrace of heaven was waiting for me because of the love of God when I was a sinner. If I can't love, first of all, we shouldn't even, it's hard to imagine that we can't even get along with our brothers, because he's talking about somebody that's completely persecuting us for our faith. In text, that's what he's talking about, enemies, true enemies that hate me and you because of what we stand for. Being persecuted for living a life full of integrity, not for doing people wrong. That's not even what he's making reference to. So the majority of the body of Christ can't even get over sinning against each other. But he's making reference to somebody that hates you because of the change of doctrine in your life. You no longer agree with Judaism. Now you agree that there's a Savior coming and you're looking for him. He's making context to that, not about the day-to-day little Mickey Mouse quarrels that we have amongst each other. He's not even making reference to that. He said, if you love your enemies, you are complete as your Father is complete. But guys, if we can't learn to fall in love with that man on the mountain, if we can't learn to desire him more than life itself, we will be nothing more than born again, Holy Ghost filled, legalistic Christians. Full of legalism. There has to be a place where we find in God, if I've been confessing lately, God, I thank you that there's no ought or unforgiveness or strife or anger in my life, Lord. That's my day-to-day confession. As much as I can think, that is my confession. If there's anything that I want to do more than I ever have in my life, is to fulfill the words of Jesus Christ. But I say unto you, Renee, love your enemies. Love is the most powerful weapon that we can ever grab a hold of. It's the love from A to Z. Love, love, love. The man on the mountain whom we draw near to is telling me and you today, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed, he's telling me and you, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he went on to say, blessed are those who are accused falsely, for my sake. It's time, guys, that we're going to be talked about, if we're going to be ridiculed, if we're going to be slandered, that comes as a fruit of me and you walking with nothing more than Holy Ghost-filled integrity. If they're going to talk about us, Mavis, let them talk about us because we stand at attention to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If they're going to revile us and mock us, let it be because we're pledging allegiance to the Lamb of God. Let it be because me and you are drawing near to him with our heart. We're hearing him and doing his will. And the fruit of all that is me and you are called wise men and wise women. We cannot fail. We will not fail because he's made us a promise that we're building our house upon a rock. So we're going to be talking about, don't let it be because we hurt each other. Don't let it be because of that. That's not the kingdom of God. Let it be because we're so in love with that man on the mountain that we stand at attention every moment, through every trial, through every tribulation, through every chance that's offered up to let our light shine. Let's walk with so much integrity. Let's embrace the Lamb of God so much that we know that we know that we know that we know that we have to, that we want, that we want, that we want to carry out the ways of the kingdom. We're sons and daughters of the kingdom and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Don't live off your emotion, but live off God's holy, holy, undefiled word. I advocate this book here. There's nothing in the world that I would advocate more than the Bible. And there's not a book written that sets precedence over this, not one. Nothing in the world sets precedence over this book here. Nothing. Nothing in the world. No one can teach you like the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues. You can never feel the heartbeat of Christ without that intimate, I love you, Jesus, I worship you. Man on the mountain, I want you to teach me that I remember those words, Lord. And now I know when Pastor Day says about day and night meditation, because as you read those words, they go through your spirit throughout the whole night. Have I reached the place of being complete? No, my friends, but I tell you, I've never felt what I felt the last 2 or 3 months. Because I put myself there, maybe I said, Lord, teach me today. Teach me today. May I recall and remember those words that you spoke to me as your disciple, as my heavenly Father. May I go back in the pages of my heart and in my spirit. And when there's a situation in front of me, Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit brings up those words of love of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Whenever I begin to see something in my brother, Father, I thank you that your word tells me, judge not, lest you be judged. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that that's minute, Lord. I won't even give that any thought. I thank you, Lord, that as I pray in the Holy Ghost, your perfect will is being worked out in my life, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I worship you today, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. And I tell you, since I began to let things go, I mean, really let them go, there's been an absolute healing in my life. There's been an increasing in the anointing that I walk in. There's a desire now. I really never really cared about preaching. There's a desire now to release God's word unto you. I'm excited. I'm so excited. Why? Because I let ought go. I'm started a journey of letting this junk go. I say things, God. There's no ought. No unforgiveness, no strife, no anger in my life, Jesus. And I'm almost done. See, those things don't exist in the kingdom of my Father. On the contrary, Jesus instructed me and you on a personal level. Blessed are the merciful, according to that they shall receive mercy. He's telling you today, Miss Barbara's telling you today, Ashton, blessed are the peacemakers. Listen to this, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called sons of God. Those last three, they have to be lived out by me and you. The poor in spirit, the being meek, the mourning, the hungering and thirsting after righteousness, those are things that lead us up to our salvation. When he calls me and you to be merciful, to be peacemakers, to be pure in heart, those are the three things that he's asking me and you as disciples that come unto him with an open heart to hear his words. And that's what he's asking me and you. He's asking us as the head of the church, our Holy Father. He's saying, you want to follow me? You want to follow me? You want to be a disciplined follower? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for you shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, Harry and Robert. Blessed are the pure in heart, for ye shall be called children of God. Jesus said something so remarkable in these last words. He said something so remarkable to me. Or to me, thank you. It come out of my mouth. I'm taking it that personal. I'm putting it that he put Matthew 5, 6, or 7 just to teach me. He said, you are. Listen to this. He said, you are the salt of this earth. He said, you are. I am. He said, I am. Homer, you are, Homer, the salt of this earth. He says, Courtney, on a personal level, you are the salt of this earth. He said, Tasha, you are the salt of this. He's talking to you on a personal eyeball to eyeball level. He said, you are the salt of this earth. If the salt has lost its savor, if the salt has lost what makes it salty, listen to this now. He told all of us in here today, well, let me rephrase. He's telling those of us in here today whose heart is drawing near to him. If you're here today and you don't desire change, guess what? Good news. This word isn't for you. Because he teaches his disciples. They come to him with an open heart to hear and to do. He said, blessed are the merciful, talking to me and you, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called children of God. Then he went on a little bit farther. He said, you are, personal level, eyeball to eyeball, you are the salt of this earth. But if the salt has lost its savor or its flavor, listen to this now. Christ, God Almighty, would have the audacity to say this about me and you. Because he said, I was the salt of this earth. He said, you were the salt of this earth. Courtney, you are. I can't depend on somebody else. He's called me and you to come to him from the heart and to hear those elegant words of love and to do them and then hear them. He's called me and you to that. Then he said, you are the salt of this earth. You are. I am. If you, Courtney, have lost your savor, if you have lost your desire, and the head of the church said something so remarkable to me and you. If salt loses its, what is salt without it tasting like salt? What is it? It ain't salt. But he said, you are the salt of this earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth, what? Good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Jesus, I thought you were teaching me ways of love. I am, son. He said, but you are the salt of this earth. If you lose your savor or your flavor, then Jesus said, you are thenceforth good for nothing in the kingdom. If he's not my desire in comparison, if he's not what we desire, if we're not those young men and young women, how can we lose our flavor, Courtney? How can we lose what makes us the light of this world? What makes us the city on a hill is the fact that we come to him. But what makes that light shine is when we obey his words. What words? Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called children of God. When Christ is who we admire and want to serve with all our heart, when we carry out those words, is when we are the salt of this earth that has not lost its savor. But we give life and we preserve because we walk in the ways of the kingdom. But when we give our life to Christ and we still desire to hang on to our own selfish ambition, we do nothing for him in the kingdom of God. He didn't even mention in context how to get over to an extent the day-to-day minute stuff that we take offense at. In context, the head of the church is saying, when you make a decision to follow me, when you make a decision to give your life to me, you're going to be reviled. You're going to be persecuted. But blessed are you when you stand with integrity and when you're merciful, when you're pure in heart, and when you're a peacemaker. When we live like that, Renee, then we are complete as our Father in heaven is complete. We're extending our love not just to those that do good to me and you, but we're extending our love to those that persecute us for the stand that we're making, this one man named Christ Jesus. That's the difference. Love, love, love. Jesus said, in seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and with this, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. His disciples, those that acknowledged that their lifestyle was not correct. Those that were meek and said, Lord, I need a change. Those that mourn he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after, blessed are the, what's the first one? Blessed are they that hunger? No. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, blessed are the meek. He said, blessed are they that mourn. When we come to him and say, Jesus, you are the Christ, we've qualified ourselves to be poor in spirit. When we make that confession, we took that step of meekness. And when you take that step of meekness, when you confess that he's Lord, you said, Lord, I needed a change. And I made that change. He said, blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. We were filled with the Spirit of God and with the Holy Ghost. Now that we're sons and daughters of the kingdom, he said, blessed are you if you're merciful. Blessed are you if you're a peacemaker. Blessed are you if you're pure in heart. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for kingdom living. For great is your reward. There's a place of holiness, of purity, of no slip-ups that exists in Christ. But lest you find him in an intimate manner, you'll never find that place. We have to want him more than anything on the face of this earth. Our quiet times with him, you can't take yesterday back, man. Don't be that salt that's lost its savor, that is thenceforth good for nothing. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. There's too many Christians nowadays that are content with living their Christian life with strongholds that they do nothing about. Do you have strongholds, Pastor Homer? Yes, I do. But I know this person named the Holy Ghost that helps me get rid of my strongholds. I know the Word of God transforms me into the image of Christ. I know that worship brings me closer and closer to that man on the mountain. I desire to be empty of myself, man. We can't be content with being full of ourselves. We have to empty ourselves out. Empty ourselves out of any selfish ambition, any ought or unforgiveness or strife or anger. We're called to empty ourselves out, to die to the things of this world, to bring God true glory by our love for him. That's what it means to be a disciple. No ought. No unforgiveness. No strife, no anger in our hearts. That is what's brought me healing. Are you there yet? No, sir. No, ma'am. But I've started a tremendous journey into that. Or if I feel even close that I offended somebody, I retract, I rewind, and I make it right. If there's nothing wrong with judging and beholding, as long as you're judging and beholding yourself. See, you're real quiet because it's bearing witness with you. See, because you want what I want. If I'm going to live my life being an average day-to-day Christian, then I'd just rather die. I'd just rather die. That's me. I'd just rather die. Because I would have lived my life not accomplishing nothing for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I desire to go to the foot of that mountain. I desire to hear perfection. I desire to be quiet and just read my Bible and pray those hours in the Spirit and to tell that man on the mountain how precious he is to me and how much I love him and how much I want to obey his love, his word. The instruction of being merciful, the instruction of being a peacemaker, the instruction of being pure in heart was a love that he asked me to abide by. That, my friends, is my medicine. That is my medicine. That has my organs in my body back to where they need to be. That has my eyesight next. That has my eyesight where it needs to be. Am I completely there? No, not yet, but I know how to find it. He, Jesus, has given me a desire for you, his people. I don't desire money. I don't desire a bigger house, a bigger car. I don't desire to coach my children to do this or that. I mean, I support my kids. One of my kids wants me to coach him so bad. I said, I can't, son. And I don't tell him I don't want to coach. But I really don't. Along with you, all I want to do is be taught by him, to be used by him, so that people may see him in me, completely saturated in his love, completely saturated at his feet, giving myself over to the Holy Spirit. All that I do it to become like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That hasn't always been my disposition, but it is now. See, what Satan took to destroy me and to kill me, I allowed the Holy Ghost to twist it and to teach me that it's time for me to seek my Father like never before. No matter what the situation, no matter what it is, say this to yourself throughout the day, no ought. No unforgiveness, no strife, no anger in my life, Jesus, because I am a son of the kingdom. We're called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you. That's why you're here today. To be young men and women. Young men and women in age, but you're called to be mothers and fathers in the Spirit. Young ladies, young men, recycled in the natural. Young men that are proud to be pure and abstinent. Young ladies that are proud to be pure and abstinent. Waiting for that man that God has placed for them. Young men living holy before God. Young men and women that can make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples came unto him, and he taught them, and he opened up his mouth, and he taught them. Listen to the words of the King. He has me in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I can't tell you what to read. That's not my job. But if you're having trouble, if that's not your disposition to be a disciple first, then it would be to your best interest to open up that book and just pray hours in the Holy Ghost. And at the head of the church, Jesus Christ, change you with his words and the Holy Spirit reveal to you the real truth and the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You've been served today, my friends. You've been served. A disciple, he doesn't hear first. He doesn't do what he hears. A disciple comes to him from his heart first. And as I come forward to that mountain in my heart, I hear those words of love. And everything within me wants to keep what I hear. Because I'm in love with the one dispensing those words to me. Amen. That's all that really matters, my friends. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Don't be a Christian. Be an acting Christian. First John said it well. John said it well in First John. Love not the world. And I'm done with the things in the world. If any man love the world, the Greek actually says the love of the Father is not working in them. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, pride of life, the lust of the eyes is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, he or she abideth forever. Let's take this home, man, as disciples. Let's take it home. If we die, we should die in our sleep or as martyrs. We should die in our sleep or as martyrs. Not of blindness or of kidney disease or heart disease. We are sons of the kingdom. If I go, Lord, let it be when I'm 80 or 90, when I'm done. Or let it be because I stood with boldness, confessing your word in front of a bunch of Muslims that just hated me. If I go, then, Lord, I choose to go today as a martyr. I will not give myself to a devil and let him get the best of me. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and loves us. Amen. So you're quiet and you haven't moved today because you want this. You want it. You want it. Spend time together, friends. Spend time together. Praying. Spend time together. In Jesus. Discipleship 101. The man on the mountain has spoken. Hear him. Come to him. Hear him. Do his words, and you will be a wise man or a wise woman who built his house upon the rock. The rain came, the flood arose, the winds blew. Didn't even move the house because it was founded upon the rock. Psalms 18, this book is holy and it's undefiled. It's pure than the purest of gold. Nothing in the world can compare to these 66 love books. Nothing. With this and the Holy Ghost in our life, we won. We've won. Desire discipleship first. And out of that desire, your calling will come forth. See, I wasn't ready when I got put in a place. We didn't know that back then. But being a youth pastor, I wasn't ready. Nowhere close to being ready. But that's where we were at the time. My greatest desire now is to be taught by that man on the mountain. Amen. I couldn't say this in the past, but I love you guys. I could say it just to say it, but my heart thinks about you. I'm starting to love people a lot more than I ever have. This is just the beginning. Pastor Dave's words were so, and when I asked him one day, I said, Pastor Dave, well, you look so good. What's wrong? Or what isn't wrong? a homer, you know. I have aught with nobody in the world. Me and Pastor Brown just looked at each other. What a place to live. Where I know you have faults and they don't faze me. I think I'm starting to understand what he meant that day. No ought. Mavis, no unforgiveness, Alex. No strife, Ashton. No anger, Courtney, in our hearts. Like cancer and sickness doesn't exist in the kingdom, neither does strife. Neither does unforgiveness. Neither does ought. We are sons and daughters of supremacy. We are sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we serve a holy Father. Amen. So come with me, friends, on this journey. Stay in contact with each other, not as lords over each other, but encourage each other. Encourage each other in the faith. And by the way, friends, judge not lest ye be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. If somebody's stronghold bothers you that much, you better start breaking out this word and confessing it over what you think. Start confessing it, Lord. Forgive me for this. I lift up my brother and I lift up my sister right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they will leave. And if it comes up again, do the same thing again. Amen. Again, for the fifth time, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat me some Chinese tonight. No, Renee. No. No. Partner. You don't go to my house. No. I ain't going to have none left. No, it ain't. For real. Across my heart. Guys, I love you with all my heart. You are the salt of this earth. And you haven't lost your savor. Let's get on with this thing. Stand up with me, please. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, that we're sons and daughters of the kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our desire. And we desire today to empty ourselves out of ourselves, to be so full of the Holy Spirit, to be so full of your joy and your peace, Lord. We're loving on you is all we want to do. So, Father, I pray for my friends, my family, that a hunger and desire would spring forth from their heart and they just be consumed in the presence of royalty. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, God bless you.